This week, I am not flying solo. I have my friend and brother, Danny Vambili, the other half of Living with the Vambilis. I think I want to take you away from Letitia. Eh?
You want to take me away from Letitia?
Yeah, not in the marital sense, but just for us to do a show. Hey,
I see rumblings here. You know, we're doing the man thing.
Yeah.
It sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, let it be like a Jonathan and David, and we interchange between the two roles.
I like it. Yeah. I like the sound of it.
Yeah.
I don't know if the listeners are ready, because you see what we just did to Josi.
Oh, yes.
You see?
We're very different.
Very dangerous pair.
So this week we are back with the second installment of last week's conversation. Well, be careful if you have young ones that you don't want to hear this conversation. Close their ears or send them away so that they are not affected. But we also acknowledge that we don't want to be too restrictive. We don't want you to be ignorant of the fact that this very same topic affects them from that very early on.
Yes.
And by the time you think that they may be exploring, it may be too late.
Mm.
So the topic is about pornography, and this week we want to focus on a specific angle of this topic, pornography in marriages, especially from the perspective of when you are denied intimacy in marriage and you have been struggling with pornography and you are at the point where, you know what, I'm trying to restrain myself. Mm. I'm trying to overcome this addiction. But whenever I am denied intimacy, I find myself escaping and using this as a tool for me to just have that outlet. And so that's the angle that we want to talk about. And we are not making excuses.
Mm.
And let that be clear. We're not making excuses, but we want to provide a perspective or different perspectives to the topic. And we don't necessarily also want to confine it to one particular gender, whether it's male or female, because we would be ignorant if we think that it is only men who struggle with pornography. Danny, you were sharing something with me earlier about that aspect.
Yes, I was actually listening to a show today called Dear Future Wifey. And one of the guests there actually deals with pornography. And he was actually explaining that his biggest market when he started, he thought he's doing this to cater to men.
Mm.
But unfortunately, or let's say fortunately, the Lord saw it fit that his biggest audience is actually women.
Ooh.
Yeah. So when we look at, when we speak about pornography, the idea is always to think it's a male problem. And this also causes a lot of women who are struggling in that area to think that they're the only ones.
Mm.
You know, but when you look at society today and you look at the way the enemy goes about it, he might attack men in a more visual way.
Yes.
But with women, it tends to start with literature.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, books, that romantic books that are very descriptive, that put ideas. And a lot of the women will say that would lead to them helping themselves sexually.
Mm.
You know, so there's different methods of attacking the different genders, but we are all dealing with the same struggle.
Mm.
You know, whether it's just the direct pornography or a way that plants lust and leads you to it.
Yeah, and I think another aspect that has not been considered mostly around pornography, especially in the church, and as it relates to our relationship with God, is that it also brings lust.
Yes.
There's an element of lust, because now when you're walking around in the street, when you're walking around everywhere and anywhere, you get to almost be hyper sensitive of all of those keys. Mm. And especially when you haven't been intimate with your partner, you then become almost, I want to use hypersexualized. And that you see all of these things. And for men mostly, because I'm going to speak from the perspective of being a man, because that's the only thing I know, is that as a man, as much as the Bible says we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith, right? Yes. But as men, we are created to appreciate things visually.
Mm.
So when we see, then our eyes just want to take that in and process it. And when you haven't been intimate, when you haven't had that release, then you become even more entertaining of what you see.
You know, I think that this topic is so deep and sensitive that the first place we're going to have to start in is in Scripture. You know, 1 Corinthians 7 verse 5 says, "Do not deny yourselves to each other unless you first agree to do so for a while in order to spend time in prayer, but then resume normal marital relations. In this way, you will be kept from giving in to Satan's temptation because of your lack of self-control." You know, you can read this and think, yeah, but what is God saying? You know, are we just not supposed to say no to each other? No, this scripture is highlighting something.
Mm.
That when you do that, when you put yourself in that position, Satan's temptation, in other words, you're leaving a gap that the enemy can exploit.
Mm.
Now, male and female, man and woman, would always not fully agree, you know, because of our diverse needs.
Mm.
You know, the one wants more conversation and, you know, mental stimulation. The other is always ready.
Yes.
You know.
Ever is.
but Scripture comes to us and presents to us a case that says, if we choose to leave each other vulnerable, we are opening a doorway for the enemy. Now, what does that look like in our century? You know, I so sent you.
We choose to leave each other vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we choose to leave each other vulnerable. Now, I've had to really sit down and say, where does it start? How does it start?
Mm.
And when you look at the movement of today, there's two things that are very loud that are being spoken to women. Okay?
Mm.
When a wife is single, so before you are married, everything that has to do with sex and that kind of talk is always called liberation. You know, it's called freedom of expression.
Mm.
You know, it's called self-discovery.
Oh.
Okay, as long as you are not married.
It's called self-discovery.
It's self-discovery. It's freedom of expression, you know, and all these empowerment things.
Yes.
But once you are married, the tone changes. It's now, let me not even put words.
Now it's now a show.
I wanna read this for you. This is, you know, I typed in, you know, what is marriage intimacy from modern days feminists' view.
Mm.
And this is what it says. Shalamith Firestone describes romantic love as the pivot of oppression for women. A holocaust, a hell, and a sacrifice.
Mm.
In this way, she echoes Simone de Beauvoir, who argues that given the unequal position of men and women, love becomes a curse that confines women in the feminine universe. Now, and then it goes on to say, feminists have identified love as an aspect of patriarchy. And I'm gonna pause there.
Mm.
Now, when you look at this, this is me reading it raw and condensed.
Yes.
Okay? But how is this messaged subtly in every sitcom you're watching, in every song you're listening to, in every exposure, every celebrity who gets to speak about intimacy as some, especially in the marriage, now we're talking about marriage, being some form of oppression. Now, the opposite of this is also being messaged to men, where we're not being told as men that we can even be intimate. Everything we're being told is conquest. How many women can you have? You know, how it makes you a man, the more women you have inappropriately engaged sexually. So those two messages, when you bring them together, and in the back of the mind, you are now married, but as a man, the intimate part is not seen as a thing that brings you together. It's more as a conquest. It's something you order, something you want now. And for the woman, it's, oh no, he's going to want to oppress me with this thing. We are playing the devil's game. You know, we're not seeing intimacy in the right view. And now when those mindsets are already coming together, and you've got things like pornography as an option on the side, when you don't want to do the work of building intimacy, the enemy is like, why struggle?
Yeah.
Why try to speak to your partner? You know, you can speak to your work husband. I don't know if you heard the concept.
Work husband.
The work husband, work wife. There you can talk. There you can be open. There it's easy. But to your own husband and your own wife, there's a wall.
You know, this whole thing, I've just had a revelation. If you want to engage on this conversation, simply WhatsApp us on 071-364-0376, 071-364-0376 on Impact 103. So here's the revelation, that the initial part where you say, where people are saying before marriage is considered summarized empowerment. Post-marriage, it becomes this chore.
Yes.
Right? It actually twisted around.
Yes.
That even before marriage, it shouldn't even be a chore. It shouldn't even exist ideally.
Yes.
And biblically so. But we know that as much as we may say it, it still exists. Nonetheless, we're not condoning it. But when we then get into marriage, I think it's because oftentimes we don't understand our relationship with Christ. We are the bride and he is our bridegroom, and he wants to spend time with us. And if we want to be intimate with him, we need to open ourselves up to him and spend that time with him and have more intimate sessions with him. And when we have more intimate sessions with him, we grow closer and deeper together. So when we get into marriage and one spouse is denied of their conjugal rights, if I may put it that way,
yes,
then you find that the intimacy is then hindered, in that now there's a warped sense of intimacy that one finds outside of being intimate with your spouse. Yes. So speaking from a man's perspective, if I'm unable to be intimate with my wife, then the next thing I will do is go, especially if I'm recovering or I'm trying to get out of this pornographic addiction, is then go into porn. And firstly, it gives me a false sense of idea of how to perform. There's that energetic pulse that, you know, seems to happen. And it seems to tell you that women are always ready.
Yes.
Just as you are ready.
Yes.
And it destroys the moment that leads up to intimacy. The moment that leads up to the two of you connecting to become one. And whenever you deny your partner, your spouse, the moment of intimacy, then you're denying that connection, that sanctity of marriage. And I believe most couples have missed that.
You're so right. And especially in this era of the phone, where, you know, phones and websites and the
billboards,
the porn industry, they are working on the same systems as casinos. You know, they've studied your addiction, they've studied your dopamine, they know how to give you an instant relief that will check you
instant relief
instantly and emotionally. So when you look at that, you'll find in the marriage of the modern day, there's no patience, there's no kindness, you know, there's no grace.
Mm-mm.
And we want things instant, even romantically. You know, sometimes when you speak to young people who want to get married, it's almost like they're checking a book. Okay, married, check.
Oh, yes.
You know, have children, check. But that's not marriage.
Mm-mm.
Marriage is a process of becoming one. This becoming one thing people talk about, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. But now we've made that process available and distorted it outside the boundaries of marriage. You know, and I think this is why, as much as we've asked the adults to stay and to release the children, we must not forget, in South Africa, the porn exposure rate is at the age of 8.
Imagine 8.
That is unthinkable. You would never have thought of this. You know, so it's so important that we protect our children young, and we begin to, you know, not overshare, but begin to share what is appropriate.
Yes.
You know, how do you guard yourself when you are young? You know, this culture of dating, you know, and now it goes from dating to sexting to the physical. It's problematic, my brother.
Yeah. You know, before we go, I just want us to quickly give somebody a lifeline in terms of what do? They find themselves here and now, and how do they move forward?
I think for me, the first step is always to try to get help. You know, if your church or your direct community doesn't have platforms that can help you, please, you know, go online and see what you can get. But beyond that, there's programs like Covenant Eyes that you can install on your phone, on your laptop.
Covenant Eyes.
Covenant Eyes. That allows you to have accountability and to block adult porn sites. You know, another thing is also Bulldog. Bulldog, oh goodness, I'm forgetting the second part, but I think it's Bulldog, something like Protection.
Okay.
That is also a good starting point that can help you, you know, to create a barrier so you don't find yourself saying this is the last time.
Yeah. So you've been listening to Impact 103 with Danny Vambili and Zibuse Elgunene. As we are signing off, we just want to say to you, don't lose hope. It is not the end. There is still so much that you can still do to get out, to find help. And the biggest part is that you need to have intimacy with the Lord God. And when you can have intimacy in that form, then you are able to, you know, overcome certain things. And I want to close with this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name.